Let's jump into God's Word and see what He has for us. God has something that He laid in my heart a few weeks ago and I just couldn't get it off. And God wants you to know and to ask yourself this question right here. How great is your God? We sing the songs, right? We sing, "How great is our God?" We love that. It's a beautiful song. We sing it. But ask yourself when you get into life, okay? You're in a situation. This is easy. We're in church. It's easy to say, "My God is great" in church. But when you go out in the world and you're facing life, ask yourself, how great is my God? Because you're going to come up against situations, circumstances, relationships, all these things are taking place, bike accidents, things like that that happen. When you come into that, how great is your God? And you will find out we serve an extremely powerful God. Okay, but let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we lift up the King of Kings. We lift up you as our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. The Master, Lord, we yield to you this morning. We pray that your Spirit moves in our hearts this morning. Let your Word speak to us. As we read it, Lord, may it be made alive, quickened, and stir our hearts, Lord, with faith. Let it abound in our lives as we then leave this room and go out into the community, go into our homes and our families and the places where we work. And Father, that your Spirit will then emanate, flow right through us onto the people around us, Lord. I pray that we have a greater understanding after this message, Lord. I pray that you use it to give us a greater understanding of your greatness, your majesty, your power, your glory, your ability, and your willingness to move on our behalf, Lord. I thank you for it. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So I was thinking about some of the things that are trying to hold back the body of Christ. One thing I got during worship was on pride, that pride holds people back from what God wants from them. If people would humble themselves, people would yield to the Spirit of God, they would be able to move forward with what God wants for them. But that's not today's message. That'll be next time, maybe. But one of the most detrimental things that I see that's happening in our society right now is this diminishing. Everybody know what that mean by that? The diminishing, like you dim the lights. The diminishing of God's power. Okay, this diminishing of the greatness of our God. Okay, God has not changed. Okay, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, and yet I would suggest that He is probably being called upon by Christian believers a fraction of the amount that He was maybe 20 years ago. 50 years ago for sure, people are just not calling on Him anymore. Okay, we have some great inventions, things going on in our society that are adding to this that I'll get to in a moment. But I think a lot of Christians are simply going through the motions of Christianity. Okay, they're engaging in a few of the traditions of the faith without actually being involved in a full-blown relationship with our powerful and all-knowing and almighty God. The God that we serve today is the same God that we read about in the Bible. In fact, there's a song, and I can't remember, I think it's, is it Maverick City Music? I think they have a song called "The Same God" or "Same," "The Same," or "The Same God," something like that. Very, very powerful song that you could listen to if you wanted to. It is all about that exact thing, about the God of David, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the same God I serve. Look what He did then, He's doing it now. It's a powerful, powerful song. We're not going to sing that one, but we're going to get to one here at the end that I think you'll enjoy just as much. The same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that caused His people to be delivered from their captors, is alive and well, and He's at work in your life today. Okay, I'm going to say that again because that should stir something. The same God that parted the Red Sea so His people could be delivered from their captors is at work in your life today. Okay, He is more than willing and fully able to set you free from any bondage in your life. Any. We're talking about a 400-year bondage, right? That He was setting them free, or many, many years, right? Hundreds. Decades. Maybe years. weeks, days, you've been bound up by something, God is able to set you free from any bondage that is holding you back in life. The same powerful Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, your Bible says that He dwells in you, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 literally says that. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit, capital S, the big guy, the big Holy Spirit of God, dwells in you. You are the temple. Okay, you are the literal dwelling place. Okay, the home of the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Think of that. Did that change anything when He raised Jesus from the dead? Was that a big event? Was it something that was impossible any other way? Dead 3 days, raised Him from the dead. That power is inside of you. That Holy Spirit is inside of you. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead is inside of you. Okay, the same power that raised the widow woman's son from the dead is inside of you. That power, that kind of magnitude of power, resides within you. Okay, this is the same power that it's the power of God that was active in Peter and John when they told the man that had been crippled for over 40 years to rise up and walk. Remember that? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus I give unto you, rise up and walk. And the man leaps up and leaps and praises God and gets excited about it. It's the exact same power that the disciples used to cast evil and demonic spirits out of people that were tormenting them. That same power resides in you. Jesus came to give every believer an abundant life, one that is overflowing with the power of God. It is overflowing with the supernatural, things that are beyond human capacity, ability, things that are miraculous, power of God. But a lot of Christians today are still living in defeat. Okay, they're still living in a defeated life, like they're never going to get ahead, never going to get above, never going to get out, never going to get through. Okay, simply because they do not believe that that same power is alive and well and active and at motion inside of them today. Okay, unfortunately, there is a, and I just put it in quotes in mind because I don't know if it's a real thing or not, but I called it the smallness syndrome. Okay, where we've taken this great, massive, powerful God and made Him small. Like He's not big enough. He can't handle. He's not able. Okay, and that smallness syndrome has spread, and I'm just going to say throughout America, because that's mostly where I've been, a little out of the country, but mostly America, where people do not see God as big enough to handle their problems or worthy to be praised. Okay, people would get excited during worship if you saw God for who He really is. Jesus saw, or Peter saw Jesus for who He was on a boat. What'd He do? Fall on His face and worship Him. Okay, that's what happens. But we don't see that so much in worship too much anymore, because we have a smallness thing going on. Our God is not that big. He's not that massive, not that powerful, not that great anymore. We sing how great is our God, but do we really believe that is what I'm asking you this morning. That has not only affected the world, the outside world, where they don't believe how big and awesome God is, but it has infiltrated the church, obviously. Okay, I see it in the lives of Christians who are struggling through life, hesitant to even pray and ask God because they're afraid that He won't come through for them. They've asked a time or two. They've sought the Lord about something and it didn't turn out the way they thought it would. Therefore, they simply don't ask Him a second time. They simply don't take their matter to Him. Okay, or maybe they're caught up in carnality. Our world is good at infiltrating our lives and get us caught up in the way of the world so that You know, we don't even think about turning a situation over to God until maybe a last resort, if at all. Okay, there are Christians, even maybe some here today or some that will tune in, that haven't asked God to help them with the current situation yet. They're just struggling through it. I'll make it. God's with me. But they won't ask God to intervene on their behalf. I'm going to tell you a funny story. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's a good example. Last night, my wife and I, we go down to the Fort Steele, and we're closing up the historical site, and we walk the trails a lot of times to get exercise and whatever. And we're walking, and as you know, there's a train bridge that you have to walk under. And all these little gnats and moths and bugs and whatever like to congregate there. It's cooler under that bridge or something. And so we're just walking along through there, and all of a sudden, zzzz, and it goes right in my ear. Okay, and I didn't know what it was, but I'll tell you what, if you've ever heard that expression about putting a bug in somebody's ear, I can't remember being as weirded out. I mean, Margie would attest to this. I was literally running, pounding my ear, screaming, because this thing... Okay, I didn't know what it was at the time, but it got in all the way in there, and then I could hear it go, and it was burrowing into my brain. Okay, I could hear it against my eardrum, and it's burrowing against my eardrum, and so you just hear that it sounded like a freight train in my ear, and I'm like, oh, get it out, and I'm like handing Margie I had a flashlight on, and I said, gave her that, and I said, shine it in there, can you get it out? She goes, I don't see it, it's in too deep, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to my brain. And so I'm like, get it out. And she couldn't see anything in there. And so she's saying, I don't know what we're going to do. And I stopped. And I said, Lord Jesus, I need your help now. Come out of there in Jesus' name. And I just started speaking to whatever that was. You know, I pictured, if anybody remembers Star Trek with the little creature crawled into guy's ears. Okay, that's what I'm picturing at this time. I thought it was going to my brain. And I was trying to push here. She said, take your finger off. I said, no, it'll go to my brain. And okay, so I started saying, Jesus, I need you now. Help me now. I got to get this out. Jesus, help get this out. Get out, get out, get out. And I started speaking to that bug. And lo and behold, it got turned around somehow and came back out. It was a little tiny, tiny moth that was fluttering up against my eardrum. Okay, now the whole point of that is, at first, yeah, it's a big reaction. I'm trying, what is this? I mean, this all happened in 2-3 minutes, But the next thing was, I'm thinking, you start running the scenarios. I need to go and flush my ear with oil. They make an eardrop. And I thought, well, that's going to kill it. Will it get it out? And then I thought, well, you have to do that heat thing where you let the wax drain out of your ear. I'm thinking, right away you start thinking, how am I going to solve this problem? And then it dawned on me, I don't have time for that. This thing's going to be eating my brain. Jesus, I need your help now. Okay? And he came through. Okay? That's my point, is that he came through. And a few minutes later, we're back walking around, and I'm still rubbing my ear a little bit because it was kind of creepy. Okay? Sometimes we need to not make Jesus, not make God our last resort, but start thinking as quickly as possible. I tell you, instantly, he came through within a few minutes' notice. Sometimes people are just ignorant of the power of God. They just don't know about it. They don't believe that maybe some of those things, maybe it's happened in times past. Maybe it happened in the Bible. Maybe it happens in other countries. Maybe it happened to somebody else. But it hasn't happened to me. I don't have that testimony. Therefore, it's hard for me to believe that. Okay? And so, if we don't believe in the miraculous abilities of our Creator, we start attributing our strengths, our wisdom, or whatever to other things. Okay? For one, we have a handheld device, okay, that most people have that is seemingly filled with an unlimited amount of information. Okay, and that we have that as a so-called source of wisdom, while our omnipotent and omniscient God, okay, our all-powerful God, is pushed to the bottom or maybe even off the list of solutions. I don't know how to do something, you can ask, right? Why ask God to help you do something, to help you understand something, and then wait patiently, tune into the Holy Spirit, and wait for the answer? When you can Google it, right, and get a plethora of how-to videos in a matter of minutes. Why seek godly counsel for a major move in your life when there's an online chat group that'll give you their biased opinion to help walk you through it with their guidance? You know, the wonders of technology are awesome. The miracles of the modern medical field, the wisdom of the World Wide Web, as it used to be known as, are slowly, or you might even say at this point in time, are quickly replacing what many see as an outdated and limited God. The God of the Bible, outdated and limited in what he can do. I'm here to remind you this morning of something. I want to remind you that there is no one, there is no thing that even remotely compares to the greatness of our God.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
The modern day abundance of information, okay, and the ability that is available right now is only possible because of the infinite and divine ability of our Creator, okay, the God of the Bible. He is the Creator of all things, and by Him all things consist. Okay, we have to get that into our brain. We had a part of Wednesday's message this last week, Romans chapter 13, was talking about governments, and there's a line in there that says, all authority is ordained by God. Okay, and we pondered on that because some people don't like the governing authorities. Okay, especially in different times in history, they're like, oh, how can this be of God? How can this government be ordained by God? And the point is, government itself was ordained by God. The people in it don't always follow God's ways. Okay, and that's why it doesn't always seem like, how could this be of God? Well, the government itself was. It's just how people responded to it that made it not so good. Look at Colossians 1:16 and 17. I want to remind you of something about our Creator and who He is and what He's done. Okay, when we get to the point we start putting other things ahead of God, we forget that God created all things. Okay, it says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." In other words, God is God, right? And if you take Him off of that throne, you're going to be in trouble. Somehow we have strayed from the understanding that God is our Creator, that He is our beginning, okay, that He is our source, and that life depends on Him. You know, Christians, when you quit thanking God, okay, some Christians don't thank God for their meals. They don't thank God for the breath they breathe. They don't thank God for taking care of the kids or doing different things. Some people do not thank God very often. But when you quit thanking God, okay, when you quit praising Him for what He has done and what He is doing right now, okay, when you refrain from seeking Him as your ultimate source for life, you're in trouble. Things are going to get harder. It's one of the slyest deceptions of Satan. He is the purest enemy of your soul, and his deception is to diminish the greatness and the worth and the value and the power of God in your life. Trying to take God off of his rightful throne of majesty in your life. That's what the devil wants to do, to knock him down a notch. You ever seen people that are a little puffed up in pride? They like to criticize other people because it puts them down a notch. Okay, knocks them down to make sure that they stay up. The devil loves that. Just rooted in pride. He loves to emanate and to put others down. And that's what he's trying to do with God. To reduce him down to his level. That it's just God against him. And he wins a lot of time. Okay, that's his goal. You know, I noticed something though in Scripture the other day that got me stirred. It reminded me of how great God really is. And it was the words of Jesus himself that made me think this. It's the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, who stated something more than once in Scripture. You can find this. He said this, it's in John 14, 28. He said, "You have heard how I said unto you that I go away and I come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Okay, now here's Jesus, the greatest, the purest, most powerful, most influential man to ever walk on the face of the earth, the Son of God himself, who single-handedly bore the cross, washed away the sin of the world, humbly proclaiming that God is greater than I. In another place in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Because my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." No man, Jesus said. Doesn't matter how mean your boss is. Doesn't matter how bad that person is or what they said or did. No man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. My Father is greater than all, Jesus said. Jesus boldly proclaims that his Father, our Father, God, is greater than all. Okay, that doesn't make it sound like the devil is on an equal playing field with God, does it? That doesn't seem to imply that your problems are going to be too difficult for God to figure out. It doesn't imply that your circumstance is going to be more than God can handle. You know, this is just too big for him. It doesn't imply that at all. You know, I think Margie mentioned King David earlier as a worshiper of God, someone who loved to praise and exalt him. I love one thing that he did about when he, remember, there's a story in the Bible about him dancing in his underwear. I don't know if there's a sermon coming on that or not, but he was very undignified. We used to sing a song in my early days as a believer about I am more undignified than this. And in fact, what that meant was where I'm at right now, the goofiness, I'm dancing, I'm shouting for the Lord, I am more undignified yet. There's more in there. I just need to let it go. Okay? And that's where pride holds people back. It hinders. It stops that up. Keeps people from, you know, they're too conscious about what people are thinking of them because they think it's about them. And so they're conscious of me and all the stuff going on with me. And they don't worship. They don't yield themselves to him. I don't know where that's coming from. God is really wanting to get that out. David, King David, stood proudly in the presence of the Ark of God. Now, we know him as a guy who wrote a lot of the Psalms, right? Right? Yeah. You guys follow me? Okay. Okay. The first place where he spoke a psalm, sang a psalm, he was proudly in the presence of the Ark of his God. And he gave what is known as the first psalm that was ever written. It's not in the book of Psalms. It's not Psalm 1. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to read you some of this because it shows that heart of worship that he had. In verse 16 he says, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. He goes on a few verses later in verse 23, First Chronicles 16, 23. He says again, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. He goes on in verse 31. He says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. You ever wonder where that song comes from, Matt Maher? All the people said, amen. Matt Maher? I think it's Matt. He sings it too. Matt Maher was original. Okay. All the people said amen. Okay, in other words, so be it. Let all the people praise the Lord. Let us reward and exalt the God of our salvation. Let us give glory unto God in front of the heathen and in front of all the nations. Give all the praise unto our God. And all the people said, so be it. We're going to do it. That's us. David said a few more. I had one in Psalm 66, 3. He said, say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. I love that. That's English Standard, but I love that, cringing to you. Even God's enemies come cringing to him. It's not like they come boldly, kind of cocky, like, oh, look at me, I'm better than you. They know better when they face the Almighty God. They come cringing, like, oh, he's going to smash me like a bug. And he probably will, right? Break their teeth in one of the psalms he wrote about. Psalm 66, 5, he said again, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Okay, some of you remember a young woman named Hannah that had an encounter with God, and there's one part where she gave a humble prayer of thanksgiving unto God. It's listed in 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting in verse 2. She said, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. In other words, there is no equal. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. It's about him. You know, maybe the God that you serve is small. Okay, maybe your God is incapable of accomplishing much in your life, but mine is not. My God is not small. I serve the God of the Bible. Okay, let me tell you about the greatness of my God. My God made everything that you see. Okay, the seas, the trees, the plants, the animals, the moon, the stars, the sun, his greatest prize creation, you and me. My God made all those things. He made the heavens and the earth. My God put things in motion for us to be provided for, to have the food to eat. He made seed to reproduce after its own kind. That's a miracle of God. He made you and I to reproduce, to be fruitful and multiply. That's a miracle of God. He made the ability to make shelter, to have companionship that we will need to mentally survive in this world. My God not only set His people free from their captors by walling up the waters so they could walk through the sea on dry land, but then He used those exact same waters and destroyed their captors. You know, my God spoke through a donkey when it was necessary to get a message across. My God spoke through a cloud, through thunder. He speaks through men and women of God to guide His children, to be able to help them to see, to know Him and what He wants.
Oh, yeah.
My God planted a Holy Ghost seed in a virgin woman to bring His only begotten Son, the Savior of the world, into this earth to save us. My God humbled Himself to come to earth as a man to redeem me from the grip of the enemy. Give me an ultimate victory by grace through faith in the Son, through faith in the Christ. My God restores sight to the blind. My God opens the ears of the deaf. My God puts words in the mouths of the mute. My Lord heals the brokenhearted. He touches the sick and they are made well. He asks those with wounded and withered hands to reach them out towards Him and they are healed supernaturally and made whole. My God allows anyone to touch Him by faith and be healed of lifelong illnesses. He asks nothing in return but that we go and tell others what great things the Lord has done for us. My God causes a hundredfold return to come from my generosity when I give from my need. He provides for my needs when there seems to be no other way by doing things like multiplying a handful of grain to make it last for years during a drought. He multiplies the little bit that I do have and turns a couple loaves and a few fish into enough to feed thousands and thousands and still have enough left over for 12 huge baskets of leftovers. The God I serve is not only a God of comfort, not only a God of peace, not only a healer, but when called upon, He is fully capable of raising someone from the dead. He makes the dry bones to live again. He restores things, ask Job, He restores things to better than before. He multiplies and returns to me that which the enemy has taken and ensures that I live an abundant life here on earth. You know, I don't know how big your God is, how great your God is, but mine is awesome. The world needs hope today. I have hope today. I have placed my faith firmly in the God of my salvation, in the God of the Bible. Jesus said to ask what you will in His name and it would be given. John 15:7, He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Jesus said that if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, that you could speak unto a mountain that is in your life and it would be cast into the sea. And then He said, and I quote, nothing shall be impossible for you. I stand with the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as He boldly proclaims, my God is greater than all. My God is God. There is none like Him. There is none beside Him. There is none even close to where He resides in my mind, in my heart. God is a God. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He is the God of miracles.